He's given his final major speech, and now President Obama has also held his final news conference. He spent an hour before the White House press corps today, 2 days before his presidency ends. John Yang was there.
In his 22nd and final time facing reporters in the White House briefing room, President Obama today defended his decision to commute the sentence of Chelsea Manning, the former Army intelligence analyst convicted of leaking U.S. military and diplomatic secrets.
Chelsea Manning has served a tough prison sentence. So the notion that the average person who was thinking about disclosing vital classified information would think that it goes unpunished, I don't think would get that impression from the sentence that Chelsea Manning has served.
Most of the news conference was spent looking ahead to the fate of his own accomplishments after President-elect Trump takes office.
You know, my working assumption is that having won an election opposed to a number of my initiatives and certain aspects of my vision for where the country needs to go, it is appropriate for him to go forward with his vision and his values. And I don't expect that there's going to be enormous overlap.
He also shed light on the counsel he's offered Mr. Trump.
This is a job of such magnitude that you can't do it by yourself. You are enormously reliant on a team, your cabinet, your senior White House staff, all the way to fairly junior folks in their 20s and 30s, but who are executing on significant responsibilities. That's probably the most useful advice, the most constructive advice that I've been able to give him.
He said he hoped he could take a pause from politics, but made clear he'll speak out when he feels compelled
certain
to.
Issues or certain moments where I think our core values may be at stake. I put in that category, if I saw systematic discrimination being ratified in some fashion, efforts to round up kids who have grown up here and for all practical purposes are American kids and send them someplace else, I think would be something that would merit me speaking out.
And he weighed in one last time on an issue that's dogged presidents for generations, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
Because if you do not have two states, then in some form or fashion you are extending an occupation. We believed, consistent with the position that had been taken with previous U.S. administrations for decades now, that it was important for us to send a signal, a wake-up call, that this moment may be passing.
Mr. Obama also reflected on how America has changed during his presidency on social issues, like attitudes on LGBTQ rights.
I don't think it is something that will be reversible because American society has changed. The attitudes of young people in particular have changed. That doesn't mean there aren't going to be some fights that are important. Legal issues, issues surrounding transgender persons, there's still going to be some battles that need to take place.
The president lamented what he sees as undue restrictions on voting rights, which he said was a lingering vestige of slavery and Jim Crow.
This whole notion of election or voting fraud, this is something that has constantly been disproved. This is fake news. The notion that there are a whole bunch of people out there who are going out there and are not eligible to vote and want to vote. We have the opposite problem. We have a whole bunch of people who are eligible to vote who don't vote.
As Mr. Obama, the nation's first black president, prepares to leave office after the first female presidential nominee was defeated, he expressed confidence that more barriers will be broken in the future.
If, in fact, we continue to keep opportunity open to everybody, then, yeah, we're going to have a woman president, we're going to have a Latino president, and we'll have a Jewish president, a Hindu president, who knows who we're going to have. I suspect we'll have a whole bunch of mixed up presidents at some point that nobody really knows what to call.
Once he becomes a former president, Mr. Obama says he's looking forward to writing, being what he called quiet. He said he doesn't want to hear himself talk quite so much in the future, and also being a consumer of news rather than the subject of news. Judy?
John, I also thought it was interesting that the president acknowledged the role that economic inequality played in the results of the election.
That's exactly right. He spoke about that in the context of a question about inclusion and diversity. He said it's important for all Americans to feel a part of the growing economy. He said he thought there were a lot of people who voted for Mr. Trump because they felt forgotten and disenfranchised and looked down upon.
Now, John, you had a busy day because I know before the president's news conference, you were you attended a briefing by the Trump transition team, and they were talking about getting ready for the inauguration.
That's right. Sean Spicer, who's going to be the press secretary here at the White House starting on Friday, said that Mr. Trump has been rehearsing his inaugural address. He said that he wrote it himself with some input from policy advisor Stephen Miller, from Kellyanne Conway, from Reince Priebus, who's going to be White House chief of staff, from Steve Bannon, who's going to be White House counselor. He said that it's going to talk about common goals. And Mr. Trump himself has said that the theme is going to be America first. Sean Spicer was asked if any part of the speech is going to reach out to Americans who didn't vote for Mr. Trump. He said that Mr. Trump doesn't feel he should be judged on his rhetoric or symbolism, but wants to be judged on his actions and his successes.
All really interesting. John Yang, keep holding down the fort for us at the White House and with the Trump transition team. Thank you.